Good morning.
Good
morning. It's nice to see everybody today. Nice to have you back with us, Mark. He's been on numerous different continents the last few weeks. We're glad to have you back. We have a few prayer requests that I'd like to address before we get started with our lesson. Shannon requested prayers for a dear friend of hers, Robin Kircher. Her grandmother died on April 12th, just a week or so ago, and her aunt died last night. And so she requests prayers for her. We will pray for her in just a moment. We need to remember Barbara Spencer's daughter, Kim. It had been announced she's got pneumonia. She's out of the hospital, but keep her in prayers and thoughts. And Sister Ann has a number of people she requests prayers for. Her sister, Melissa Pirtle, she's scheduled for 3 different surgeries coming up soon, and she requests prayers for her, and that she requests prayers that her and her adult children will cultivate a relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
That I'm sure we all have people in our lives that we're making that prayer for. She also asked prayers for safe travels for her family members who are visiting. Miss Lorene is here today with us. Family members that are visiting this weekend. And also, she requests prayers for herself that she continues to be strengthened in her faith and to be a good example of God's love. And also, she wants prayers for Shannon and Preston, who are going to be going out of town in Sunday Bible class. Preston mentioned that they're going to be not only out of town, out of the country. So she requests prayers for them. And also prayers for our congregation. What wonderful, wonderful thoughts there. Let's go to God together on behalf of these people and offer a prayer together to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, first and foremost, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. Dear God, we come to you with some concerns on our heart for some people dear to us. We ask that you be with Ann's sister, Melissa Pirtle. We pray that you be with her as she's facing 3 surgeries real soon. More than that, more than her physical situation, we pray for the relationship of her and her family with the Lord. We pray that Anne can be a good example to them and good influence. Dear God, we also pray for her family members that are going to be traveling, Miss Lorene, that will be going back to California soon. We also pray for Shannon and Preston while they're going to be out of town on vacation. We also pray for Anne, and we pray for all of us in this avenue that our faith is all strengthened, that our walk with you will be strengthened, and that we commit ourselves more fully to you, that others can see our faith by the way we live our lives. Dear God, we ask that you pray for, or that you be with Shannon's friend, Robin. Comfort her and her family at this time with the loss of her grandmother and aunt. We hope that Shannon can be of comfort to her. Dear God, we ask that you be with Barbara's daughter, Kim. Continue to be with her and help her get feeling better and let the medicines take effect. Dear God, we ask that you be with the efforts our congregation are doing, the different works that we have. Be with us, be with the unity of the brothers and sisters that we have here, and let us all let our light shine. Dear God, continue to be with us in this worship to you. We glorify and honor you, and we hope everything we've done and continue to do will be pleasing to you and done in spirit and in truth. We pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. The scripture reading that Brother Ken had earlier today was taken from the book of Exodus. And this passage was the second plague. God was telling Moses, you're going to lead my people out of bondage in Egypt. They had been in bondage and they weren't allowed to worship the way that God had told them to. And Moses is going to lead his people out to where they can worship God the way that God prescribes. Moses told Pharaoh this. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Moses delivers one plague, the turning of the water to wine, or excuse me, the water to blood. That was Jesus that did the water to wine. Turned the water in Egypt to blood. And that hardened Pharaoh's heart. Even after seeing that, his heart was hardened and he refused to give in. And now we have a second plague, and it's going to be one of frogs all over the land. And if you wanted to read along, I'll be reading from Exodus 8, verses 1 through 10. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord. I find that interesting. It's not words coming from Moses. Amen. It's Moses is going to relate what God has said. It's not just me, Moses. Our God is telling you this. Let my people go, that they may serve me. Not let my people go because you're a hard taskmaster. Not let my people go because what you're doing is wrong, having them in bondage. Let my people go so they can serve me. So they can worship me. This is a spiritual issue, not so much an earthly issue. Even though God is against their bondage, they need to serve me the way I want. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. That's kind of an odd one. You know, you look at these 10 plagues, there are some different ways God showed his power. This one is going to be frogs. Kind of a different approach here. So the river shall bring forth frogs So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come up on you, on your people, and on all your servants. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. I have a couple of different thoughts about this. One, why would they even want to? Did they want to be right so bad? Talk about right fighters. I will fight to the nth degree just to be right, regardless of the consequences. Or if they just thought they were doing it. God had already said he's going to do it. And but either way, why would you even want? Oh, I'll show you that it's not your God. This is nothing big. We'll cause frogs to come up over everything. Why? Why would you want to do that? Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. Pharaoh does not want this to happen. And so he's asking Moses to change the situation. And Moses said to Pharaoh, I love this. Accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants and for your people to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only. Accept the honor of participating. Accept the honor of repenting. You're still in charge of Egypt. Nothing's going to be taken. In the eyes of your people, you have the opportunity to save your people from this plague of the frogs. Accept the honor of doing that. He didn't even want to do it. So he said, tomorrow. Tomorrow. And he said, Moses, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God.
Amen.
A short passage, but it says an awful lot. Pharaoh has an opportunity. He's got the power to get rid of the frogs. He can't do it himself, but he has the opportunity to end this plague by acknowledging Moses, what Moses said, and God. Frogs are everywhere. I don't know if you've ever been around frogs. Brooke, I know you're from Louisiana. You probably have some pretty big frogs. They stink. They're slimy. They make noise. And they're all over the place. They're on the beds. They're in the kneading bowls. It'd be like frogs being all over our countertops and we're trying to prepare supper. It's nasty. And you have the opportunity to end it right now. Tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. How many times do we do that? How many times do we have frogs in our lives that we have the opportunity to end it? I'll do it tomorrow. I'll repent tomorrow. I'll get a fresh start tomorrow. I'm going to start bright and early tomorrow, not today. I'll do it tomorrow. I know what I should do. I have studied, and I know I need to be baptized. I'll be baptized later. There are even some religious organizations that have that attitude. We'll schedule Baptism Sunday is going to be the third week of the quarter. So we'll schedule it then. Hope things go well between now and the third Sunday. I'll stop sinning tomorrow. I want to sleep with the frogs one more night. And that's what Pharaoh was saying. I hate these frogs, but I'm choosing to sleep with the frogs, having them all. I don't even know how you could sleep with them one more night with all the croaking and the slime and the stench, the noise. Shut up, frogs. All you got to do is obey God, and they were going to be gone. I want to keep sinning. That's what's being said. We see a number of examples in the New Testament where this very concept, it's not relegated to just Pharaoh in Egypt. We see it in the New Testament. We see it in our lives today. And in John 12, starting in verse 42, it says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him," talking about Jesus. "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." How sad. Well, I'll put it off. I don't want to be put out of the synagogue. Peer pressure. I don't want to face the peer pressure. I know I believe in him. And I should act on that belief. But I just can't. I just can't pull the trigger to do it. Sometimes out of peer pressure. In Matthew 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's spelling out the cost of following him. And he says, then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There's a selling point to be a Christian. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus is spelling it out. You got to be disciplined. You might have to go through sacrifices. Be aware of that ahead of time. In Mark 10, starting verse 17, it says, this is the account of the rich young ruler, where this man comes to Jesus and says, "Teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, you know what it says in the scriptures. Don't commit murder. Honor your father and your mother. Keep the scriptures." And the man was glad. He goes, "I've been doing these since my youth. Since I was a little kid, I've done this stuff." And then it says in verse 21, it says, "Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go away, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me.'" "And follow me." The very next verse, it says the man went away sad because he had so many possessions. He couldn't bring himself to do that. He could not bring himself to do it. He went from great joy, "I keep commandments, but not all." there was one thing that stood. Now, is this passage telling us that we have to give everything that we own away? No. This is what this man, this was the one thing standing between this man, this rich young ruler, and following Jesus. And he couldn't bring himself to do that. I want to sleep with the frogs one more night. I can't get rid of the frogs in my life. In Acts 24, we see Paul and the ruler Felix. And in verse 25, it says, now as he reasoned about righteousness, Paul is reasoning with him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Been interesting to have kind of been a fly on the wall and hear that lesson. Felix was afraid and answered, yes, I'll do whatever it takes. Says, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. I want to sleep with the frogs one more night. Go away. He was afraid. I don't want to hear it. Just I'll plug my ears up. I don't want to hear you anymore. Your words are too uncomfortable for me. I don't want to do what you're saying to do. Obviously, he believed what Paul was telling him about the judgment and about how he measured up to righteousness and measured up to self-control. And it made him afraid, but he couldn't pull the trigger on what Paul was telling him to do. And what that was simple. In Acts 26, Paul was talking with Agrippa. And says, then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. One of the saddest verses in the whole Bible. Paul laid out the plan of salvation. Agrippa knew what he had to do. You almost. Almost isn't good enough. Close is not good enough. In Acts 22, it was told to Paul. Paul had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he was told what to do. Paul did it. Paul was told what to do. He was blinded. It's interesting how Paul would see the truth, a blind man. Saw the truth of what to do. And he was told after the teaching, and now why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's not two separate things he's told to do there. He's not being said, go be baptized and then wash away your sins. Baptism is where we wash away our sins. And by doing it, we're calling on the name of the Lord that He's the one forgiving us. Amen. We're not washing the sins away with the water and soap and a scrubber and all that stuff. It's Jesus that His blood is the one washing away our sins. In Acts 16, verse 33, we see the Ethiopian eunuch, the Philippian jailer. I don't know why I'm going different directions today. And the Philippian jailer was ready to kill himself when he thought all the prisoners had escaped. There had been an earthquake. He had his sword out, ready to kill himself. And Paul said, don't do, do yourself no harm. And in verse 33, it says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately, he and his family, all his family, were baptized. After they learned what they needed to do, he did not wait. Some people wait. The Philippian jailer did not wait. He and his family were baptized immediately. We see this played out in real time with how the Corinthians followed through with being taught. In Acts 18:8, it says, "Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians." We see the plan of salvation being played out. Hearing, believed, and were baptized. They heard the plan of salvation being taught to them. The word of God was proclaimed. They had a choice to believe it or to not. They believed it. And the result of that belief, they acted upon it, and they obeyed and were baptized. Acts 17:30. We have a message for us as relevant today as it was in the first century. In Acts 17:30, it says, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." That word, ignorance, is a strong word. You're not just saying, oh, you're being foolish, you're being silly, you're being ignorant. That's strong. These times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere, get rid of the frogs in your life. Amen. Repent. Don't sleep with the frogs another day. Today, not tomorrow. How many times do we want to hold on to the frogs one more day? If we can be of service to you, your brothers and sisters, we already have by the people sending up the prayer request. If we can pray for you, if we can encourage you, if there's frogs in your life that you need help dealing with, we can help you. If you've heard the plan of salvation, and if you've been here for any length of time, I know you've heard it, and you realize you need to be baptized, don't delay. Be like the Corinthians. You've heard the word of God, you believe it, be baptized. If you need to repent, do it today, not tomorrow. Whatever your need, if you'd come forward, let your needs be known while Daryl leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.